Deep river, my home is over Jordan. Deep river, Lord, I want to cross over into Cab Ground. Oh, don't you want to go to that gospel feast, that promised land where all is peace?
Deep river, my home is over.
The last time I was home to see my mother, we kissed, exchanged pleasantries and unpleasantries, poured a warm, comforting silence around us, and read separate books. I remember the first time I consciously saw her. We were living in a three-room apartment on Burns Avenue. Mommy always sat in the dark. I don't know how I knew that, but she did. That night, I stumbled into the kitchen. Maybe because I've always been a night person, or perhaps because I had wet the bed. She was sitting on a chair. The room was bathed in moonlight diffused through tiny window panes. She may have been smoking, but maybe not. Her hair was three-quarters her height, which made me a strong believer in the Samson myth and very black. I'm sure I just hung there by the door, and I remember thinking, what a beautiful lady. She was very deliberately waiting. Perhaps for my father to come home from his night job, or maybe for a dream that had promised to come by. Come here, she said, I'll teach you a poem. I see the moon sees me. God bless the moon, and God bless me. I taught that to my son, who recited it for her, just to say, we must learn to bear the pleasures as we have borne the pains.
Good morning. Welcome to Black Book Talk, February 2025. This is part two of a tribute to Nikki Giovanni. Last month, January 2025, we started, and it was so much we needed it to spill over into February. I'm Emma Jackson Ford, bookwoman, here with
O.B. Hill, community historian.
Well, Nikki Giovanni was a well-known poet throughout the world, and she wrote lots and lots of beautiful poems. She even wrote one about Black History Month, which is this month. So I thought I'd start off our show with her poem about Black History Month. But before I do, I want to say that Patricia Hill Welch, a library lady, is here with us somewhere.
I certainly am. Thank you, Emma. Oh, the new year.
The new year. So she wrote this short poem called Black History Month. And it says, if Black History Month is not viable, then when does not carry the seed and drop them on fertile ground. Rain does not dampen the land and encourage the seeds to root. sun does not warm the earth and kiss the seedlings and tell them plain, you're as good as anybody else. You've got a place here too. I thought that was a very straightforward poem to get us started in Black History Month. But also, this is not just Black History Month. This is the birthday month of Rosa Parks. And she wrote a wonderful poem about Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks by Nikki Giovanni. This is for the Pullman porters who organized when people said they couldn't and carried the Pittsburgh Courier and the Chicago Defender to the Black Americans in the South so they would know they were not alone. This is for the Pullman porters who helped Thurgood Marshall go south and go back north to fight. The fight that resulted in Brown versus Board of Education. Because even though Kansas is west, and even though Topeka is the birthplace of Gwendolyn Brooks, who wrote the powerful The Chicago Defender, sends a man to Little Rock. It was the Pullman porters who whispered to the traveling men, both the blue men and the race men, so that they both would know what was going on. This is for the Pullman porters who smiled as if they were happy and laughed like they were tickled when some folks were around and who silently rejoiced in 1954 when the Supreme Court announced its 9-0 decision that separate is not inherently unequal. This is for the Pullman porters who smiled and welcomed a 14-year-old boy onto the train in 1955. They noticed his slight limp that he tried to disguise with a doo-wop walk. They noticed his stutter and probably understood why his mother wanted him out of Chicago during the summer when school was out. 14-year-old black boys with limps and stutters are apt to try to prove themselves in a dangerous way when mothers aren't around to look after them. So this is for the Pullman porters who looked over the 14-year-old while the train rolled the reverse of the Blues Highway from Chicago to St. Louis to Memphis to Mississippi. I'm going to stop right there. It's a very long poem, but wonderful, and you get the gist of how great her poetry is.
Yes, and you know, that poem really touches me because my uncle was not a Pullman porter. He was a cook on the B&O, Baltimore, Ohio Railroad. And that kind of looking out that black people did for other black people and certainly for children was just, it was unspoken, but it was understood. So that's a beautiful poem. I'm told that we have someone on the line.
Hello?
Someone?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's on the line today?
This is Carla Davis from the Multnomah County Library, Black Culture Library Advocate Team.
Carla Davis, Librarian Supreme. You were at the Midland Library. Are you still there?
I am not. I work for the Every Child a Reader program. So
great.
I get to serve our community in that way.
Okay, like Carla. I'm sorry. No, can I do just one thing? No. You know something? Let me let you go because it hits me. You may be on your lunch break or something. So what are you going to share with us today?
Oh, so I will share a poem by Nikki Giovanni called Knoxville, Tennessee. It's really reminiscent of my family and probably resonates with a lot of black families. And I'd also like to, recommend a book. So, all right. Knoxville, Tennessee. I always like summer best. You can eat fresh corn from Daddy's garden and okra and greens and cabbage and lots of barbecue and buttermilk and homemade ice cream at the church picnic, and listen to gospel music outside at the church homecoming, and go to the mountains with your grandmother, and go barefooted, and be warm all the time, not only when you go to bed and sleep. And that is Knoxville, Tennessee.
I love that poem.
It's really great. It just really, really just sends you back to the family picnics and that whole thing. And the book I'd like to recommend is actually edited by Nikki Giovanni as well, called The 100 Best African American Poems. It was written in 2010, so it may be a revisit for some. And it also has an audio CD with Nikki reciting her poems, as well as other folks like Ruby Dee, Novella Nelson, Nikki Giovanni, of course, Elizabeth Alexander, Marilyn Nelson, and Sonia Sanchez. And that is a book that people can go ahead and read for lots of nice poetry along with Nikki's poems. And that's what I wanted to share today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay. And we encourage people, take advantage of your library. We're sure it's in the library collection. I also wanted to say, Carla, thank you for calling in. And if there's anybody else out there who has a poem, a title, a book, a comment they want to share, you can call in. The call-in number is 503-231-8187. Again, 503-231-8187. Don't be shy. Okay.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, before the next caller calls in, let me recommend a couple of books. The first and foremost book is a book, Rosa. And it's by Nikki Giovanni with illustrations by Brian Collier. And I just want to recommend this book because I'm telling you, it defies all logic. And looking at it, you see the illustrations along with the language that Nikki Giovanni writes. For instance, the author's note says, Rosa Parks is a cooling breeze on a simmering day, a sun-dried quilt in the fall, the enchantment of snowflakes extending the horizon, promise of renewal at spring. It is an honor and a responsibility to explore the bravery of her acceptance of history's challenge. This book is great. Let me read just a little bit more. I turn here and she says, Mrs. Parks sat waiting for the police to come. She thought of all the brave men and women, boys and girls who stood tall for civil rights. She recited in her mind the 1954 Brown versus the Board of Education decision in which the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that separate is inherently unequal. She sighed as she realized she was tired. Not tired from work, but tired of putting white people first. Tired of stepping off the sidewalks to let white people pass. Tired of eating at separate lunch counters and learning at separate schools. She was tired of colored entrances, colored balconies, colored drinking fountains, and colored taxes. She was tired of getting somewhere first and being waited on last. Tired of separate and definitely tired of not equal.
I love the way you read that. I felt the fatigue, the weariness.
Yeah, Nikki Giovanni is just let me look at this other book, because I brought two. Lincoln and Douglas, An American Friendship. This book is from about, the first edition was 2008. And this is a signed copy, so I'm keeping this in my possession. I'm going to read this one thing because it illustrates their relationship. President and Mrs. Lincoln were strolling along the hall arm in arm and greeting friends and supporters. Mrs. Lincoln noticed the president occasionally peering at the door. "Is something wrong?" she asked. "I am looking for my friend, Frederick Douglass. I had asked him to come and bring his wife." "Oh, Abraham, not here. Surely you know no Negro should be at the White House." The president looked at her more with sadness than disappointment. Mrs. Lincoln's sympathies did not lie with the men and the women of color seeking to be free. Frederick Douglass, she feared, had persuaded her husband to take up the cause of the enslaved. She did not want to see her beloved South changed. Just then, Abraham broke into a broad smile. "Here comes my friend Douglass," he proclaimed, as he hurried over to shake hands. For both men, the journey across the ballroom felt like a journey across time.
You know, Obi, I'm so glad that last time you read some young adult works, because I always think of Nikki Giovanni as being very much a poet for adults. So you opened up a whole new world to me just by doing that. I think we have another caller on the line. Is that so?
Yes.
Okay, who's caller number two for us today? Who's on the line?
This is Corinne, and I called to thank you guys for honoring Nikki Giovanni. And I too see her as a poet, and her poetry, Eagle Tripping, I think, was just so powerful for me as a young Black woman growing up. And I don't think it was just me. I think it was like when James Brown did the "Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud."
Yes.
This was equivalent to the female, Black female, Eagle Tripping poem, and it was done really well with music in the background.
Yes.
I also liked her poem and Cotton Candy on a Rainy Day. I used to recite that. So I just wanted to thank you all for honoring my fellow Buckeye, because she may have been born in Tennessee, but she was from Cincinnati.
That does. Okay, thank you. And also thank you for mentioning the music in the background, because one thing that we didn't say is that the opening poem, Mothers, was read to the background of Deep Rivers. And this is from the album Like a Ripple on a Pond, Nikki Giovanni and the New York Community Choir. And I think that album came out in 1973, I think. But it has some of the most beautiful music. The New York Community Choir is just fantastic. And that, you know, the woman was a Renaissance woman. She did everything. Yeah. But that was a part of it. So thank you for mentioning that. And thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. And we want to say one more time, listeners, you can call into 503-231-8187. There's still time. I want to talk about a documentary called Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project. And we meet her in her later life. Now, everybody, well, no, everybody doesn't. They follow her throughout this documentary. They follow her from a fiery young poet who said she didn't want a job, but she had a child to take care of. So she borrowed some money from her family. She published her first book. She promoted it, and she was on. But we also see her as a woman who is facing her mortality. At one point, she says she had one of her lungs removed. The question was whether or not she would have a breast removed. And she was like, look, you know, I'm 75 years old. I think I've done everything I need to do with it. Wonderful sense of humor through everything. But her fascination was, she was fascinated with space. She wanted to go to Mars, but she felt that if NASA was going to go to Mars, that they needed to consult with and bring in Black women. Her feeling being, who better to take this on? She said, coming to this country was an alien situation for Black women. Being forced to have sex with aliens, what we did was whatever they put in us, we held it, and then we birthed it, and then we named it and loved it. Why wouldn't we do the same on Mars? Why wouldn't that be the same energy? So she wrote this great poem. It is a very long poem, Quilting the Black Eyed Peas. So I'm going to read about half of the poem, then I'll stop and let somebody else share a poem. And if there's time, I will go to the last part of the poem. Okay, Quilting the Black Eyed Peas, We're Going to Mars by Nikki Giovanni. We're going to Mars for the same reason Marco Polo rocketed to China, for the same reason Columbus trimmed his sails on a dream of spices, for the very same reason Shackelford was enchanted with penguins, for the reason we fall in love. It's the only adventure. We're going to Mars because Perry couldn't go to the North Pole without Matthew Henson, because Chicago couldn't be a city without Jean-Baptiste Dussop, because George Washington Carver and his peanut was the right partner for Booker T. It's a life-seeking thing. We're going to Mars because whatever is wrong with us will not get right with us. So we journey forth carrying the same baggage, but every now and then leaving one little bitty thing behind. Maybe drop torturing hunchbacks here. Maybe drop lynching Billy Budd there. Maybe not whipping Uncle Tom to death. Maybe resisting global war. One day looking for prejudice to slip. One day looking for hatred to tumble by the wayside. One day maybe the whole community will no longer be vested in who sleeps with whom. Maybe one day the Jewish community will be at rest. The Christian community will be content. The Muslim community will be at peace. And all the rest of us will get meals at holy days and learn new songs and sing in harmony. We're going to Mars because it gives us a reason to change. If Mars came here, it would be ugly. Nations would band together to hunt down and kill Martians. And being the stupid, undeserving life forms that we are, we would also hunt down and kill what would be termed Martian sympathizers. As if the fugitive slave law wasn't bad enough then, as if the so-called war on terrorism isn't pitiful now, when do we learn and what does it take to teach us that things cannot always be what we want, when we want, as we want? Other people have ideas and inputs, and why won't they leave Rap Brown alone? The future is ours to take, so let me slow this down. Mars is 1 year of travel to get there, plus 1 year of living on Mars, plus 1 year to return to Earth. Equals 3 years of Earthlings being in a tight space, going to an unknown place with an unsure welcome awaiting them. Tired muscles, unknown and unusual foods, harsh conditions, and no known landmarks to keep them human. Only a hope and a prayer that they will be shadowed beneath a benign hand, and there is no historical precedence for that except this. The trip to Mars can only be understood through Black Americans. I say the trip to Mars can only be understood through Black Americans. The people who were captured and enslaved immediately recognized the men who chained and whipped them and herded them into ships so tightly, there was no room to turn. no privacy to respect, no tears to fall without landing on another. They were not kind and gentle and concerned for the state of their souls, no. The men with whips and chains were understood to be killers, feared to be cannibals, known to be sexual predators. The captured knew they were in trouble in an unknown place, without communicable abilities with a violent and capricious species. But they could look out and still see signs of home. They could smell the sweetness in the air. They could see the clouds floating above the land they loved. But there reached a point where the captured could not only not look back, they had no way, they had no idea which way back would be. There was nothing in the middle of the deep blue water to indicate which way home might be. And it was that moment when the decision had to be made. Do they continue forward with a resolve to see this thing through? Or do they embrace the waters, find another world? In the belly of the ship, a moan was heard, and someone picked up the moan, and a song was raised. When we go to Mars, it's the same thing. It's the middle passage. I'm going to stop now because we're getting close, very close to the end of the show. And I want to give anybody else who, you know, wants to share another poem or whatever. But I do encourage people to go to Max and look at this special. Taraji P. Henson is an executive producer, and she also reads on it.
Nikki Giovanni was all about history. She was all about Black history, about people's rights. She was all about family. But a lot of her was about food, and I love that. She wrote a poem called Bay Leaves that I particularly like. Bay Leaves by Nikki Giovanni. I watched Mommy cook, though I cooked with Grandmother. With Grandmother, I learned to pluck chickens, peel carrots, turn chitlins inside out, scrub pig feet. With Mommy, I watched leftovers for stew or vegetable soup, Great Northern beans, mixed collards, turnips, and mustard greens, garlic cloves, bay leaves, very beautifully green, stiff, so fresh, with just a pinch of salt. Not everything together all the time, but all the time keeping everything. I made my own frontier soup in a crock pot. I made my own ice cream with a pinch of salt and everything else with garlic. But fresh bay leaves are only for very special oxtails. That's it. That was the one.
All right. Just made it within our time slot, too. Well, farewell for Saturday, for February. This is the Library Lady Emeritus saying, see you in March.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.